بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I recently happened to be in a line at an attraction, and I noticed that the line beside me was moving at an okay pace, but the people who were next in line got busy with doing something. So it was a big family and looking at some bags and talking among themselves. And there were a couple of women who were behind me in my line, and when they saw that, you know, that family was busy, so instead of asking them to move ahead because the line had freed up, they just sort of slipped in, cut the line, and it happened right in front of me. So I noticed it very clearly, but the family that was in line didn't really notice, and then, you know, the day went on as normal. So when I saw them, it was a little, you know, it's not something I would expect, because you look at the people and, you know, they appear very presentable and very normal, like, you know, very professional, just like as you would expect anyone to be. But then I thought, you know, if once inside, if I had needed to trust them with something, or if there was an issue where I needed to, you know, interact with them, I probably would think of them differently now because of what I had seen in terms of their actions and in terms of their manners. Now, you know, it shouldn't happen, but naturally in my mind I started, for a second, I started associating this action, which I didn't think was very ethical, with the ethnicity or with the particular ethnic or racial group that those women appear to belong to. Now, of course, we shouldn't generalize and we shouldn't stereotype, and we know that. But naturally, it just so happens sometimes that, at least for a second, the mind can start thinking that way. Now, when someone who is unfamiliar with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does something like that, they can be forgiven because they don't know about the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps they haven't had the proper upbringing, the proper, you know, teachings from their parents and so on. So they can be forgiven. But for those who profess to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as us, we must be very careful. We must be very careful because not only if we involve ourselves in actions which display a negative character, which show that we don't have the best of manners, not only do we ourselves look bad, but we also cast a negative impression upon the followers of those of the one who was the best. So I am not only an individual, but rather I am a representative of Islam. I'm an ambassador of Islam. So if I do something, if I commit an action which can be perceived or which is negative, then that not only will reflect upon me, but will also reflect upon my religion, will reflect upon my community. And that is the impression that people are going to get of all Muslims. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best. When it came to everything, he was the best. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially points out his character. And Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are on an exalted standard of character. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the best of the best of characters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as well that we are to worship Allah alone. So Allah says, worship Allah, join none with Him in worship, and do good, and be good to parents, your relatives, to orphans, to the poor. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts expanding that circle. Right? So we have the people who are very close to us. Then the neighbors who are near to you, so this could be taken as near in relationship, so such as relatives, but also the neighbors who are strangers. So the neighbors that you do not know, that you're not related to, who are Muslim or who may not be Muslim. The companion by your side. So here we come back to the line, right? So the companion by your side. So if you're standing, you know, in a grocery line, if you're standing in any sort of line at the airport, the companion by your side, the person who's beside you, who's ahead of you, who's behind you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to be good to them as well. To the wayfarer, to the traveler, and so on. So basically, what we learn from this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us to be good, to have good manners towards all of the people who are listed, but essentially what it comes down to is anyone whose company we are in. So anyone whose company we are in, anyone who we have interaction with, our presence should not be a source of harm to that person. Our presence should not be a source of harm or a source of trouble for those people. Rather, our presence in that lineup even, on that airplane, on that train, you know, in that traffic jam, should be a source of peace and a source of mercy, not a source of trouble, right? Not a source of burden, of stress upon others. And doing good and being good includes using words that are good as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And say to my slaves that they should say only those words that are the best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clearly instructing us that if we are his slaves and we claim to follow him and worship him and submit to him, then when we speak, the words that we should use should be the words that are the best. The best of words, the nicest of words, the most appropriate of words in a particular circumstance. Now when we think of Islam, a lot of times when we think of Islam, we think of ritual worship. Right? So one of the things that are on the minds of people today, of Muslims, is to go for Jummah, right? To offer this very important prayer, this act of worship, or the five daily prayers, or the fasting, and so on. And what's permissible, and what's not permissible. And I got a lot of questions regarding that as well. So basically, we think of Islam, and we think of the things that are very visible most of the time. And these are very important, there's no doubt of that. But the Prophet ﷺ has also placed great amount of importance on manners as well, on good manners. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have been sent, or I have been only sent, to perfect good manners. So this was part of the mission of the Prophet ﷺ. Part of his mission was to perfect good manners. If a person can truly understand what good manners really are, then everything else will come to order. And there are no shortage of a hadith. There's no shortage of a hadith when it comes to the importance of having good manners. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ has pointed out is that having good manners is actually a sign of iman. It is a sign of faith. Rather, it is a sign of perfect faith, having good manners. Not something that is trivial. It's not something that is trivial like an afterthought, right, or a bonus, or something that we add at the end. No. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ says, the people who have perfected their iman most perfectly are those whose behavior is most excellent. So the people who have perfected their iman are those whose behavior is the most excellent. So that comes as a part of iman. Not only that, but also Prophet ﷺ has said that having good manners is actually equivalent to extra worship as well. Having good manners is the equivalent of extra worship. And he said, a believer will attain by his good behavior, due to a person's good behavior, a believer will attain the rank of one who prays during the night and observes fasting during the day. Subhanallah. So simply by having good character, simply by exhibiting good manners when interacting with one another, a person can attain the rank, can reach the rank of a person who stays up the entire night in worship and who spends the entire day in fasting. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ also said that nothing is weightier on the scale of deeds than one's good manners. So a person's good manners will have the most impact, will have the most significance after, of course, iman and the obligatory actions. But a person's good manners will have the most weight on the scale of deeds on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ advised Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Fear Allah wherever you are. Fear Allah wherever you are. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed." So if you happen to make a mistake, if you happen to commit a sin, immediately try to follow it up with a good deed. And it will blot it out. So it will be like whiteout. Right? It will be like whiteout. So you write something that's wrong, you make a mistake, immediately you do a good deed, and it will wipe it out. It will clean it out. And deal with people in a good manner. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of exalted character, what does that mean? Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim," that really you are of an exalted character. So what does that mean? You know, what are the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now of course, we can't go through all of this perfect characteristics in this short period of time. But here are just some examples. Anas radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best amongst people, both in shape and in character. So in deeds, in everything else, as well as his character. And he was the most generous of them, and he was the bravest of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character was to be generous, right? Was to always put others before himself, but also to be brave. He didn't say that just because, you know, I am the leader, or just because I'm the Prophet, I'm going to sit behind and watch, and everyone else go and do all the hard and scary work for me. He didn't do that. He was brave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not an abuser. This is important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not one who would abuse people, whether through words or through actions. He was not the one who would use foul language. And he was not the one who would curse people. So using foul language, abusing others, cursing others, was not the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit the sick, and there are many, many virtues detailed regarding visiting those who are sick. Followed the funeral processions. So if there was a funeral procession in janazah going by, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would respect it, he would follow it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also accept invitations from people. So if somebody invited him for dinner, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not unnecessarily turn it down. And he had actually advised that we should try our best to accept invitations. So if somebody invites us, we should try our utmost to accept the invitation. Unless, of course, there is something that is impermissible that is going to occur there, then you have a valid reason. But otherwise, you should always try your best to accept invitations. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, being the best of all people, right, the best of leaders, the best of teachers, with all that, he would have good manners even at home. And this is a very important reminder, especially for our brothers, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have good manners even at home. And Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what would he do at home? He would mend his shoes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed his shoes to be fixed. He didn't say, "Yeah, Aisha, come here, come fix my shoes." No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fix his shoes himself. If he needed his clothes to be sewed, something to be fixed or to be patched up, he didn't turn to his wives. He did it himself. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would do the work of the house as ordinary people amongst you do. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do the things that people ordinarily, normally do in their homes. She was also asked in another hadith, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do in his house. And she replied, he used to serve his family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would serve his family. It's not the other way around. He didn't say his family would serve him. That, oh Prophet of Allah, you have come home, now let us serve you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to serve his family. But then when the time of prayer came, he used to go out for the prayer as well. Aisha radiallahu anha also says, of course, one of the closest, one of the dearest wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does she say? This is also very important. The Prophet never hit anyone with his hands. The Prophet never hit anyone with his hands, not a woman, not a servant. So all of those who think that it's okay to beat your wives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hit anyone with his hands, not a woman, not a servant. No one, except when he was fighting in the path of Allah. And then in that case, he may have struck someone. But other than that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hit a woman, never hit a servant. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, the best of you are those of you who are best to their wives. The best of you are those, not who exert the most power or control over their wives, not the ones who can boss around their wives the most. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those of you who are best to their wives. Anas radiallahu anhu says that I served the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. He served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. And he says, during that time, he never once said to me as much as "Uff," if I did something wrong. So if you're at home and our children or spouse does something that we didn't want them to do, we say, "Uff, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?" Right? And we make such comments. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never once in 10 years said "Uff" to Anas radiallahu anhu if he did something wrong. He says he never asked me if I failed to do something, why did you not do it? So if he forgot to do something, if he failed to do something, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not once did he ask him, why did you not do it? And never said to me, if I had done something wrong, why did you do it? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have the nature of demanding answers all the time. He wasn't demanding answers all the time. He knew that people make mistakes. He knew that we, every single human being, can make a mistake. So sometimes you tell someone to do something and they forget. Or sometimes they misunderstand your instructions. Or sometimes something else happens and for one reason or the other, they're not able to follow upon your instructions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never reprimanded Anas radiallahu anhu on that. So if you look at all these characteristics, you know, and there are many, many more. There are many more. But if you look at all of them, it comes down to one thing. The one thing that it comes down to, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never a burden on the people who were around him. So the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, after all, has been described as a mercy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for his family, not only for Muslims, but for all of humanity and for all of creation. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never a burden upon anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never a source of trouble for anyone. And he made sure of that. And therefore, we too, in our own capacities as family members, as fathers, as brothers, as wives, as children, as mothers, as brothers, as sisters, as children, should always ensure, and as employees, as citizens of the city, as citizens of this country, as citizens of this world, make sure that our presence is not a burden upon anyone else. That because of our presence, no one else is hurt. And because of our presence, no one else has to go through any other trouble. We can go through trouble for others, but others shouldn't have to go through trouble because of us. Finally, I'd like to end with a hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu recorded, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the deed which will be foremost to lead a person to Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which deed? What are the deeds that will be foremost, front and center, in taking people to paradise, taking them to Jannah? And he replied, fear of Allah and the good conduct. The fear of Allah and having good conduct. Because if a person is conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is conscious of the fact that he or she could die at any moment and will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that particular state in which they were the second that they died, they will automatically bring all their actions, all their deeds into order. So he said, fear of Allah and the good conduct. Then he was asked about indulgence, which will admit a person to fire, to the hellfire, to Jahannam. And he answered, the tongue and the genitals. So the tongue and the private parts are the two elements, the two things that will be foremost in taking people to Jahannam. So the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good conduct will be foremost in taking people to Jannah. And the tongue. And why the tongue? Because the tongue, even though it's a small piece of flesh, can be the cause of so many misdeeds. Right? Backbiting from the tongue. Right? Using foul language from the tongue. Lying from the tongue. Right? It's just very few examples, but the tongue is front and center when it comes to so many of these misdeeds. So the tongue and the private parts, and of course we know why, those two will be front and center in taking people to Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good conduct, good character, so that we become a mercy for every single creature that walks on the face of this earth. And not only that walks, but for the entire universe, for the environment, and for everyone who is around us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. I was sad to learn that the father of Brother Muhammad Hafni had passed away in Egypt. So he had asked that we make dua for his maghfirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and grant him the highest stay in Paris, inshallah.